today on Real Radio.
But now when we come to chapter 12, everything changes. Paul's instruction changes. He's gotten all of the correction out of the way. And now he begins to give them things necessary, listen, church, for the Corinthian church to get back online again and be a relevant church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the early chapters of 1 Corinthians, Paul had to deal with a variety of spiritual and social problems. But now in chapter 12, he starts to sort of move on, so to speak, to the more weightier matters. In order to succeed as a body of believers, it's not the work of the people as much as it is the work of God's Holy Spirit in and through those people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called What Makes a Church Relevant.
Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministry, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, and to another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit, verse 10, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one, and as many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, everything's different from here on out. From 1 Corinthians chapter 1 to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul was in the necessary mode of correction. The church at Corinth, you guys are experts now. You guys know that they were a very carnal church. They were a church that were very, very spiritual, but they allowed a lot of paganism into their lives. They were a church that was divided up into cliques, and they actually celebrated those cliques. They were a church that saw nothing wrong with sexual immorality. And so he spoke to them about divorce and remarriage. He talked to them about presenting their bodies before the Lord as instruments that were, in fact, possessed by God. That every true Christian is possessed by the Holy Spirit. And that we have been sealed or stamped, that is, unto the day of redemption, because we are the property of God. And who is the one that sees to that? The Holy Spirit. But now when we come to chapter 12, everything changes. The tempo changes. Paul's instruction changes. He's gotten all of the correction out of the way. And now he begins to instruct them. He begins to give them things necessary, listen, church, for the Corinthian church to get back online again and be a relevant church. Today's message is entitled, What Makes a Relevant Church? What makes a church relevant in our world today? And we're going to be talking about that because the word relevant is a big name. Listen, that's a big word today. It's a big title, relevant. Among the young people today, everything's got to be relevant. The sad thing is that the word relevant today doesn't necessarily mean what some old timers might think it means. The good old word means that it is applicable. To be relevant is to be contemporary, but to be able to answer to the age in which it finds itself, to be relevant. Now, don't get me wrong here. If we had a very contemporary worship group, and we said to you, well, we're relevant because we have a contemporary worship group, that does not make us relevant. If I were to say to you, we have a really nice website, we have really cool graphics, that does not make us relevant. Or we have a smoke machine that goes on stage. That I'm not knocking this stuff. I'm just telling you, if you're looking to those things to be relevant, you're wrong. And the young generation today is looking for those things to say, look how relevant we are. And that's not what the word relevant means at all. The most relevant person that has ever lived is none other than Jesus Christ himself. God's always relevant. To be relevant is to be applicable. To be relevant means that something from you or from it, or for that matter, this church, is speaking into the culture, speaking into the body of believers, and that the body of believers leave this place, go out into the world around us, and we are in fact relevant. To be relevant is a very exciting thing, but to think you're relevant and not be relevant is a very, very deceptive thing. You cannot be relevant and not affect your culture. If you think you are, you're fooling yourself. As a church, we must be a relevant church. But I'll ask you these questions. Do some churches die? Do some churches fail?
Yeah.
Are some churches dead?
Yeah.
Why? Is that what God wants? No. Then why does it happen? Because the church loses sight of its God-ordained power, the church loses sight of its God-ordained ministry, and the church loses its power because of its God-ordained mission. The church gets off that path and begins to get in, as it were, into the briars and into the weeds of things and loses its way. Don't raise your hand. Are you a Christian? Oh, just answer it in your mind. Then listen, if you're a Christian, I'm going to ask you the next follow-up question. As a Christian, then, what gift or gifts of the Holy Spirit shown in the Bible are you administering to the body of Christ, to the church? Are you a Christian? Yes. Then what gift or gifts given by the Holy Spirit that are enumerated in Scripture are you practicing in the body here, in the church, that the church might grow stronger together? Now, in a crowd this size, someone's going to feel a little bit of a sting regarding that. I love Jesus. I'm going to heaven. I know it. But I'm not doing nothing. And I have to tell you, Pastor, in all honesty, my life's a little bit unfulfilled. I don't feel as though I've reached the potential for which God has brought me into the family of God. I feel like I've got something to give, but I haven't done it, either because I've been complacent, I've been lazy, or I haven't found it. I understand that. I'm so excited because what is going to come out of these series of teachings will revolutionize your life, if you're willing. Why am I so excited about your life being revolutionized? Because if this is your church, everyone else around you gets the benefit from your obedience to the Lord, except there's one person who will benefit more than any one of us. And guess who will that be? It will be you yourself. When you know that you're doing what God has called you to do in the body of Christ, you will be the one more fulfilled, more excited, more energized than anybody else around you. Though others be blessed by you, you'll be the most blessed. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, God never prostitutes his people to get the job done. Isn't that great news? If God wants to use you, you are going to be intoxicated by the goodness of God. When God uses you, you will be energized. When the world uses you, you will be raped and depleted and left for dead. But when God uses you, you will be gloriously exhausted. And I mean that in a great way. We get the word agonizo. Recognize the word? To agonize, to stress. It's an athletic term that you are now living for Jesus to the point of you're exhausted and you have a big smile on your face and you couldn't have it any other way. It's a great way to live. Many of you are going to be challenged. And in fact, in weeks ahead, we'll have the opportunity for you to find out what your gift may be. So we look forward to that. I'm going to ask you to pay close attention and stay tuned to the messages and all. And if you're visiting here today, then I pray that you'll go back home to your church asking God, what difference will I make, Lord, in the church that I attend? Because this is a non-spectator faith that you and I have called Christianity. A couple of introductory verses that we want to look at. I want to ask you a question before I give it to you. Do you think God has given us everything that we need to be successful Christians? And I don't mean make money. Those days are gone. I'm talking about being a successful Christian all the way to the end so that we stand before him and he says to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Has he given us everything that we need? The Bible says, yes, he has. He's given us everything we need to finish this course, this journey of our lives. He's given us the Bible. And he's given us the Holy Spirit, which is the one responsible for making the Bible come alive in our lives and to apply the Bible, to make the Bible and our life as Christians relevant to the age around us. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 tells us that God will do this not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Did you know that? It's not by how relevant we can make ourselves look. It's not by our might. It's not by our power. Because after all, we live in America and we can talk our way in and out of things. Or we can take enough money and make something happen. Let me tell you, God's not in that. God is not interested in that. God takes us when, listen, all might is exhausted, all power is depleted, and his Spirit steps in. I want you to hear that. You guys listening? You listening over there in the back? Listening? Why is that important? Because for those of us, you and I, who say, I can never do that. I can't do that. Oh God, you must have gotten the wrong person. You know the Moses mentality? Oh God, get somebody else. You and I, we have this understanding, but then we've read enough to be brainwashed. Our Bible tells us God delights when he finds us in those weak places, because where we are weak, then he steps in and becomes strong. And where you and I could never see ourselves doing such things, God does it through us. Again, Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, if you can explain everything going on in your church, then God's not the one doing it. I like that. So, Pastor, what are you asking? I'm going to say, be open to God. He may have you sign up, and you'll sign up to something that you're terrified about, but you have a deep curiosity regarding it, and you'll take that step. The first step is always just the most thrilling thing ever. You take that first step and God begins to bear you up. And everybody around, as you exercise your spiritual gift or gifts to the body, is blessed by your ministry. There's one person blessed more, and that's you, because you'll be blessed and amazed at what's coming out of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the Christian life. If you're not living it, I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to welcome you to come on board this journey and find out what it's like, because it is for you, especially the person today who's saying, it won't happen for me. It won't happen for me. Will you, can you at least say, Lord, I want you to make me willing. Can you pray that prayer? Lord, make me willing to be willing. Lord, I don't think I'm open to you, but make me open to you. And God will do that. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, down to verse 13, the Bible says, and he, that's the Holy Spirit, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastor teachers for the equipping of the saints. Here's the reason why there are spiritual gifts. For the equipping of the saints, so imagine all the armament as you motor about in your fellowship of Christians in your life and you flow in and out of church. You're being equipped as saints for the work of the ministry. It goes on for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's a term, body of Christ. The church, for the building up of the church. The church would be vibrant. The church would be relevant. Verse 13, why? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, that is complete, mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's why we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives in this church. Now watch me. In this group, let's just pick this group right here. See this group right here? There's more than 200 people in this group right here. Okay? So that's 20 people more than the average-sized church in America, 180 people. Just this group right here. They may think, and look in the sight of the rest of the sanctuary, how insignificant they are. But if just this group alone, the average size of one church in America, decided today that they were going to seek God to find out, as each of them claimed to be a believer, not saying they're not, I'm just saying they make that profession, that each of them would be determined to find out for the next step in their lives, Lord, what is my gift in the body of Christ? Do you realize this group right here, there's more than enough people right here to change this entire nation? You say, that's impossible. Of course it's impossible. That's why it could happen. You know why? Because who possesses them? The Holy Spirit. Who wants to work through them? The Holy Spirit. Do you notice that? It's the Spirit's work. It's the Spirit's unction. It's the Spirit's actions. And how does he accomplish such things? Through them. This group. Right here. Imagine if just this third service of our day, we all approach the Lord that way with a great sense of expectancy. God, fill me with your Spirit. Baptize me with your Spirit. Whatever you want to do, Lord, bring your power upon my life and speak to me, show me, begin to ignite my heart on what role do I have in the body of Christ in the church today. If you're a Christian, you have to be asking that question to God. If you're a Christian, you will not sleep very well ever again after this message. You will not quite sleep well again until you find out what it is, because every Christian has at least one gift given to them by the Holy Spirit in their life, at least one. You say, well, how do you know? Bible says so. If that's not true, then God's not God. That's how true it is. He, the Holy Spirit, sovereignly gives at least one gift to every believer. And that's powerful. This is a remarkable chapter because we're going to see the Trinity of God, even in the verses that we'll read here in a moment. The Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And I love that. Isn't it interesting that the very chapter of the Bible that shows me that God has got a plan for my life and the power to do it also announces to me that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are standing with me to get it done. We lack nothing, church. There's no reason why we can't succeed as believers or as a church. And so that's comforting. What makes a church relevant? I'm going to give you one more introductory verse, and it's the best. Are you ready? Get ready to write this one down or turn there. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. You want to talk about relevant? You want to talk about having a hip church and a cool graphics and an awesome website and a video blog and a blah, blah, blah and all this stuff. Hey, that stuff's great, but listen, it better be based upon what I'm going to read here or it ain't nothing but an event. It's nothing but a show. It's Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Look at verse 18, Luke 4. This is relevant. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, number one, to preach the gospel to the poor." That's the poor of heart. That's relevant. Number two, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That's relevant. To bind up those that are crushed. Three, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Four, the recovery of sight to the blind. Five, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And six, found in verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And if you were to keep reading, the Bible says that Jesus then closed the scroll, rolled it up, handed it back to the attendant, and all those in the synagogue had their eyes fixed upon Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Today is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing." And from that moment on, in that synagogue, just north of the Galilee Sea, the ministry began, and it continues all these last 2,000 years to today, and it will continue until the Lord comes back in the great second coming. This ministry. But listen, how does he do it? He's not here. How has he been doing it? The Holy Spirit possessing Christians Using the word of God, the power of God, and you recognizing your gift, he grabs you and he uses you. And there's nothing like it in the world. Nothing like it. Please don't take this wrong. I just saw in the news, maybe you did too, that there's been some gigantic bust, on a drug bust, coming up from Mexico. Huge. Multi-bazillion, giggle million, 25 tons of cocaine or something. I don't know what it was. And think about why. Because they tell you the greatest demand in all of the world, the greatest demand for drugs in the entire world is America. We have the biggest appetite for drugs. You know how you dry up the drug industry? Get filled with Jesus. Amen. You say, oh, that's a cute little Christian thing to say, but stupid. But that's what we expect. No, I'm serious. What everyone's doing in drug addiction, trying to find fulfillment, meaning, happy, stay, have that rush, have that sense of fill in the blank, my God does that for me. My God does that for me. He does that in my life. And here's the cool part. It doesn't wear out. I don't need a needle. I hate needles. I don't need to drink anything. I don't need to swallow anything. And my friends, listen, to be relevant is exactly what this culture of ours needs coming from us. Big statement. Our God's big. Point number one, here we go this morning. What makes a church relevant? Point number one, it's this, is that believers understand there's a new life. You know today, Christian, that there's a new life, and we'll build off of this. But the believers understand that there's a new life. And so because that's true, we expect things out of this new life. First thing, listen to this, understand this. It's a new life that's come from heaven. I love it. Look at verse 1. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Take your pen or your highlighter and highlight the word spiritual, and you can draw a very fine line through the word gifts. It doesn't appear in the original language. The word spirituals are the gifts. They are things, listen, deposited from heaven. They are brought down from heaven. The gifts given to a believer, don't get ahead of me or yourself. The gifts, we will enumerate them in weeks ahead. So say, what are they? There's 18 to 21 gifts at least, if you take Old and New Testament together. So don't worry about that. We'll go through them. But the gifts of the Spirit are given by God so that you might be a vital believer. And the first thing that we realize here is that they've come from heaven. See, what does that mean? It means this. They're not talents. You know a talent? Well, I can really play the piano. I must have the gift of piano playing. No, you do not. You are a very good piano player. I have the gift of singing. No, you don't. You are a talented singer. We have all been born, except me, with natural talents.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the first 13 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The title of this study is What Makes a Church Relevant? It's actually a mini-series that we'll be bringing your way on the next several broadcasts, and that means we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you visited realradioactive.org lately? And have you been to the Resource Center? You can visit us at realradioactive.org. Click on the button right there on the right, Real Radio's Online Resource Center. It's where you'll find our featured products, message series, even books by various authors. And to make things easy, we've provided a handy search field for you too. So visit realradioactive.org. Click on the button right there on the right that says Resource Center, realradioactive.org. Here's our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. Very easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.